a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
And a taxi. On the internet and everyone in the audience this morning, with that, we will have the secretary call the roll.
Ewing?
Here.
Kirkaby?
No. Here.
Amdahl?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Wilkie?
Here.
Monroe?
Here.
Maher?
Here.
There's a quorum.
We have a quorum. Paige, why don't you come forward and give us your name and tell us where you're from? And why don't you put it into the microphone, that way everyone can...
I'm Natasha Shamans, and I'm from Watertown.
Okay, and where you want to go to college?
I'm going to STI in Sioux Falls for architectural engineering.
Awesome, cool, great. Thank you for joining us this morning. This is going to be real quick and easy. Yes, Senator Monroe.
She's also my shadow, and I found out during that day that a couple of weeks back, she's really smart, too.
And she's a lot better looking than you for being your shadow.
I second that motion.
Ouch.
With that, we'll just open this register writer, turn off the cell phones and all that other fun stuff. But does the committee, we have to go through this. What will happen is we'll just take, we have to have a motion to approve the minutes. Motion by Amdahl, second by Otten. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion is opposed. Minutes are so approved. Just open this up to general discussion. We'll put, if anybody has a big summer study item of interest or multiple, then they go before the e-board. And then e-board will set them out in a survey, and then the whole legislative process will determine what they want to pick as their top two or three, and then e-board will bring that back and approve them and set them up in the form of a summer study committee, and the selection process will begin from there. So is any general discussion out there that anybody that we heard during this last session want to study, whether it's... severance taxes or oil taxes or tribal taxes or sales taxes or exemptions or Department of Revenue, do you have anything that's burning that you want to make your life miserable with for the summer? So bank franchise taxes? Two years ago. And it wasn't. It didn't. That summer study, they didn't do very well. They did pretty poor. But they had a room full. They filled up what's the big room up there? 440. That room was packed with people from all across the state, appealing their exemption, trying to keep it in place. So, no. Once you got her. So, anyway, any other discussion? What are you thinking, Monroe? Let's hear it. Let's hear about your Uncle Sam.
My favorite Uncle Sam. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee and everybody out there, I've been getting a lot of feedback, and I think that somehow, I know it's the legislature's business to set the policy, and it's revenue's job to do the collecting and make sure the job's done right. And I think those lines are fairly well defined, but there seem to be areas where I guess I don't really understand. Here's an example. And I'd like to get some feedback, because I'm just curious here. I'm not going after anybody. I'm not trying to do anything here.
Sure.
But if you have groups that are either volunteer or mostly volunteer, and I don't know how that all works out, or in one instance, which you folks may even know, apartment owner... who has machines in the basement, washing machines for the use of the tenants. So I guess in some respects you'd call that public, because somebody off the street is going to come in and use the machines. So therefore it would be taxable, and I don't know how it's taxed within the parameters of the agreements that the apartment owner has with the state. apartment complex owner. But it's these gray areas that I don't understand, and maybe we could have somebody talk to us about it or somehow work those things out so that the lines are, I know there's always going to be gray areas somewhere, but where the lines are more defined as to what constitutes a taxable entity and what constitutes a non-taxable entity, because I know that the goal we should have is everybody should pay some, and I don't think anybody should get out of paying their share along the line somewhere, because that way we can keep rates low and everybody only have to pay a little bit. And so I guess I'm just going to put that out there, and if you want to continue, fine. If not, fine, mm-hmm. But it would be something I'd like to look into.
Well, I think in your case, if you're talking about a washing machine, depends on which part of the washing machine you're talking about. If it's collecting coins, you're going to owe sales tax on that coin collection? You won't. You'll come up forward if you want. And sure.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Jane Page, Department of Revenue. As far as washing machines in public places where they're coin-operated washing machines, what they're required to do is buy a permit, an annual permit for each washing machine each year, and that's in place of sales tax.
Oh.
And I don't recall what the fee is. I think the fee depends on the size of the population. If it's a small town, it's $10. If it's a large town, it's a little bit more per machine. Unless we changed those fees a while ago, but
sure.
That's for washing machines. That's what washers and dryers. That's what that is.
An annual permit, but then you would owe sales tax on a new washing machine.
When you buy a new washing machine, you owe sales tax on the
right.
When you buy
on
it,
the purchase
yes.
of a machine.
Purchase of it, yes.
Okay, so are you talking about? I didn't want to just bring this down to washing machines.
No,
it could be anything. All right, but just in this instance. Are you talking about washing machines that are in the laundry business that's open that in the laundry and dry cleaner business on Missouri Avenue over here, or are you talking about the washing machine that is in an apartment complex or, I don't know, one you have in your house that people use if they come over to party? I don't know, but where's it? What's the dividing line of the location or the type of property it's on or
Mr.
that
Jim,
type of thing?
It depends if it's coin-operated. If it's coin-operated, you buy the permit. If it's not coin-operated and you go to a laundromat and you drop your clothes off there, then you pay sales tax on that because you're not going to a coin-operated one. You're just dropping your clothes off. They're washing them for you and giving them back. If it's a coin-operated one, it's the permit.
Each industry is very unique. And I'm just going to use restaurant sales taxes, but give the committee an example of, if you're familiar with, because when I went through a sales tax audit, it was interesting because of paper goods, like whether it's a plastic fork or a paper plate or even the coffee filter. Can you run through that real quick, because it's just kind of interesting.
Mr. Chairman, you're talking about containers.
Right.
If it's a container that holds something that you bought, so if it's a grocery sack, if it's a takeout container, the restaurant or the store can buy those things exempt from tax as a sell for resale, and they go out the door with you. If it's something that you keep and you use all the time, then you have to pay tax on it. But so in a restaurant, a cup and lid and the paper plate or the takeout container, those all can be bought for resale.
Okay.
If it's china or plates that you keep and you wash all the time and reuse, you have to pay sales tax when you buy those.
Right. Yeah.
So we have a couple of laws on containers. So if you're the box that it goes into, the twine that goes around it, if you're mailing it, those types of things can all be bought for resale. If it's a container that holds the product that you bought that goes to the customer, that can be purchased as a sale for resale. In other words, it can be purchased without tax.
It gets interesting, to say the least.
That's now, true, but we do have some very specific
right.
rules or laws on those
mm-hmm.
containers.
Mm-hmm. So, Senator Welke.
Well, as long as we're talking taxes and philosophy. And first of all, I'd like to say it's been great working with you guys in this committee this year. I've learned a lot from each and every one of you. You're all unique individuals, and this being my first year, it's really been educational. But how would you describe, classify, or whatever, South Dakota's tax system in general?
Mr. Chairman?
Proceed.
It's basically, I mean, most of our money is from sales tax, and everything is subject to tax unless specifically exempted.
Broad. Very broad.
Very, very broad sales tax. And we're one of the few states where it says everything is subject to tax unless it's specifically exempted.
Can I go on?
Yep. Senator?
I'm just, you know, thinking from a government teacher and economics teacher. And in terms of fairness, in terms of benefits received, in terms of revenues raised, I guess I'm thinking of a value judgment type thing. You gave me a description. But how would you describe our tax system?
I'm going to let our deputy secretary respond to that one.
Mr. Weiss.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
David Weiss, Deputy Secretary of Department of Revenue. Senator Welke, I guess in large part, it reminds me of the saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. If you believe that we should have an income tax, we don't. Obviously, there's people that think we do. But where the Department of Revenue basically comes down is we play with the cards that are dealt with us or to us, and we have the cards of the sales tax, and we know that that brings $850 million a year or thereabouts. I don't have our annual report with us. And that is the workhorse for the state of South Dakota, and that's why you see us here so often fighting literally to the death and probably stepping on a lot of folks' toes when we do that to stop the spread of exemptions, because as someone said earlier, once we get an exemption on the books, it's kind of hard to get them off. And so that's kind of the tack that we take. We are extraordinarily protective of the sales tax system. We do have other taxes. We obviously have a property tax that funds an enormous amount of our government, of our state. Granted, state government itself does not get real property taxes in the door, but our subdivisions, and we have to think of it that way, that subdivisions of the state, such as the counties and the municipalities and the schools, do operate with an enormous amount of sales tax, or excuse me, property tax revenue. So we rely on that as well, obviously. And there are other taxes, the contractor's excise tax. Some people just don't like it. And I understand that, but it's a tax that was enacted by the legislature. And again, since we have it, it's one of the cards that we've been dealt. We're gonna stay with it. Kind of the same thing like the fuel tax for roads. And if you want to have a theoretical, philosophical discussion about whether our tax system in South Dakota is a good one or not, you know, I guess it depends on who you are. If you honestly believe that we should not have one type of a tax or another, that's okay and all well and good, but we still have to come up with some money. We have to come up with some money to keep the lights on in this building and in the schools and in the counties and keep the roads graded and so forth. And it does take money. And I don't think anybody particularly enjoys paying taxes. I know that this coming Saturday I will be working with to pay income tax, my federal income tax. Like many of you, we received real property tax bills in the mail for my house here in Pierre and the family farm and so forth. And you look at it and you say, boy, that's a lot of money. But we have to think back about what we get as citizens in this state is a measure of safety. We're able to walk up and down the streets in Pierre, South Dakota without being worried that we're going to be shot or something like that. We get a measure of education. I had a free education throughout, grades 1 through 12. There was no K back in the old days for me back in the Seneca Common School District, but we got a free education, and we got an opportunity to extend our education at a public university in this state. So we do get a lot of things from our state, and we forget that sometimes. And we also, as the governor has said, we protect people, we take care of people that can't take care of themselves, and we educate folks. And one of the things that we aim to do in this committee is also to educate each and every member of the committee about our tax system. I hope we've done that a little bit. Sometimes we look at our tax system and we say to ourselves, how could we get to the so complicated place that we are today? But we get there because we move in incremental steps, of course. We don't move in one big, broad, sweeping bill. Very rarely does that ever occur. We move, we move a foot at a time, not a mile at a time. So when you do that, you look back and you say, the decision somebody made 25 years ago, boy, that looks like a lousy decision, but 25 years ago was probably a brilliant decision. So, long explanation, Senator Welke, but the philosophy of taxes, I think we have a fairly good system. It's a stable system, which is enormously important to us. We've looked at other states during the Great Recession here of several years ago, and we see the enormous fiscal problems that they have where, they were underwater by billions with a B, not several million. And, while we may not like what we have, I think it is a darn sight better than what other states have seen out there that that rely on different taxes. Sales taxes, broad base is stable. An income tax can go up and down quite a bit, depending on income, of course. So at the end of the day, I would submit that philosophically wise, we have a pretty fair system in our state. And it works for what we aim to do for our 815,000 citizens of South Dakota.
Senator Omdahl, we got 10 minutes, so.
I just have a quick question. You're talking taxes. What is the, let's see, if you raise the sales tax 1%, what would that, can you quantify what that would be? And also, a second one, if you raise 1 cent of gas tax, what revenue that would generate?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Wiest.
I don't know those figures offhand, Senator Omdahl, but what I would tell you to do is go to the Department of Revenue annual report and just take the sales tax revenue and divide it by 4, and that'll give you a rough idea of what 1 penny would bring in. And then what I would tell you to do on the motor fuel tax, which is a little bit more complicated because we have several different rates there, but as a general proposition, what I would say on the motor fuel tax is you could probably come up with a fairly close, rough assumption by taking that, dividing it by, say, 22 cents a gallon, roughly, and it might come relatively close to another penny. Because remember, in motor fuel taxes, for gasoline, we pay a tax rate at 22 cents a gallon. But we also pay a tax rate at 8 cents a gallon for the ethanol that we then use to blend with gasoline. And depending on the different blends and how much is sold or whatever, that kind of works to be kind of a variable amount. But I think that you can make a very rough estimate on that basis. If you would like to, you can certainly contact, we can certainly run down that information and give it to you personally. I don't know if Deb Hilmer of our Motor Vehicle Division, which collects the fuel tax, has that handy or not. I would assume that people have thought about that. I don't know if Mr. Botts has done the 1% for the sales tax, but I think that Bureau of Finance and Management may be a resource for that as well.
One last question before you go. In that annual report we got at the very beginning of session, is the formula in there for property taxes, how we get to the assessed value of ag land? Is that in that book, the formula? Because assessments came out this week, and I've been getting a lot of questions. Oh, my God, my assessment went up by 25%. I was just wondering if that formula was in there, because it takes in it's a productivity tax. Now, I know it's a long, complicated formula, and
Mr. Chairman?
Yep.
I know that it's discussed a little bit in this document, but okay. What I would tell you to do is, if you go out to the Department of Revenue website, to the Property Tax Division, you will find, and I can't tell you because I haven't done it lately, but there's a report on there that goes through in detail, and it's about three pages long, how it works.
Okay.
It's the same type of a report, I believe, that we've also filed with the Ag Productivity Task Force. And if the Ag Productivity Task Force materials are still up on the system, you could probably find it there. And it goes through in detail explaining how you go from the productivity information that's gathered by SDSU and the federal government for us, and looking at the soils, and then looking at the soils in the particular county where you have to rate them, and so on and so forth.
And then we get the Olympic average in there. And
right. Again, you know, we talk about complicated tax system. You would look back at it and say, well, how did we get to this place? Well, we got to this place because different people had different outcomes that they were aiming at. But that can be found there. And if not, we can certainly print off and send to anybody that wants it that document as well.
Okay. Well, we'll just go do some work on the internet and try and find it. So it should be out there. Anyway, guys, we got to wrap up. Anything else to come before the committee? Senator Kirkaby.
Thank you. I just want to take this liberty. I've had the opportunity to serve with our chairman. This is my seventh year. This is my first year being able to be around Senator Maher, and I just want to show my appreciation for running a very efficient committee meeting. You also allowed us to be human. Where we flaw or error, or heaven forbid, you allow us to have a little bit of humor. But the efficiency that you conducted our meeting, I think, was very fair to anybody that certainly had the opportunity and privilege to come in and testify. That privilege certainly was granted to them. And I think it's comfortable just to state that we're all extremely proud of you taking the leadership in the helm of Senate taxation, and thank you for your leadership.
Well, thank you. Yes, sir.
I also just wanted to thank you and thank everybody here. It has been a sheer privilege to get to serve with you. And that's one of the higher points of my life. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Otten. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been good. You guys, we all came in here pretty new this year. This is probably the youngest committee I've ever served on. So anyway, thank you, guys. Look forward to next year. And thank you to the secretaries and the staff, because we couldn't do it without them, so for their advice and leadership, too. So thank you. Yes, sir. Motion by Otten, second by Welke. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate tax is done for the year.